Good morning, church. Oh man, that's awesome. Hey, today we are going to actually continue in Pastor Ron's series, and I'm not Pastor Ron, in case you didn't know, The Art of Being Unordinary. So our today's message is going to be titled Unordinary Sight. And so today's also Orphan Sunday, which is what the video we just shared. And so what that means is one day, the global church takes a stand and says, okay, one day, with one voice, we're going to rise up and pray for the orphan, the vulnerable child around the world, okay? And so today, it's just one day we get to intercede for vulnerable children and families, both locally and around the world. And so super pumped about that. And we'll kind of go on. I'll share a little bit about kind of what my role in that is and also today's message. So before we jump in, I'll introduce myself. So my name is Randy Phillips. So my wife Jen, amazing bride, we have two kids. We're born and raised here in Rockford. We've actually been with Bridgeway since 2000, so it's kind of a long time. We've served in different capacities at Bridgeway here. Love that. This is our church home. I recently left the business world to enter into full-time ministry with an organization called World Orphans. And so my role with World Orphans is a senior director of church partnership. What that means is I help partner U.S. churches with international churches around the world in nine countries to empower and preserve vulnerable families around the world. And so the idea is so that kids won't have to grow up in an orphanage. That's the true heartbeat. So we help churches give tools needed, typically to single moms in impoverished areas around the world. And we help them just be able to be empowered to care for the children, to keep their children in the family, and to ultimately grow to be, just to keep that family together. And Jen and I are so blessed. We're blessed to be one of Bridgeway's global mission partners. So we're so grateful for the support and love of our church family. And so I wanted to kind of give a quick snapshot of our, just kind of what's been happening as a ministry with World Orphans, kind of during COVID. And so, as we kind of looked from a global perspective in the countries we serve, the greatest need actually around the world was lack of food. And so we launched what they call a Food for Families campaign, where 100% of the funds that were raised would go directly to feed families that were impoverished around the world. And so crazy story is that, so we launched this campaign and 100% of those funds are going to go directly to feed families. Well, in under 2 months, or just over 2 months, we raised $115,000. And that went to feed families in six countries, rather. South Africa, Haiti, Guatemala, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda. And just blown away by God's generosity of the church and those just stepping in and caring for families around the world that just desperately were in need of basic necessities of food. Another highlight is a gal named Sarah. So this is actually a young Guatemalan single mom in the slums of Guatemala City. She came to Christ during the pandemic because she saw the church in our home-based care program continually walking alongside of her. And so in that walking alongside, helping her make sure she had food for her kids, make sure she was prayed for, cared for, she saw this tangible love of Jesus, right? And she gave her life to the Lord. And so our vision as a ministry is to equip and to inspire and mobilize churches around the world to care for orphans and vulnerable families with the end goal of sustainability. And so a quick snapshot, I'm super pumped to share. So we have a ministry in Ethiopia, and we recently were able to help 13 women graduate from our church-based microloan program. So 13 women were able to start businesses, learn finance, and also directly working with the church, were able to be sustainable through their own small business. And so these 13 women, which is awesome, they gave their spot up in the program to 13 other vulnerable women, widows and orphans and families in their community. So what I love about that snapshot is there's 13 families preserved, 13 families where kids won't grow up in an orphanage, 13 families that broke the cycle of poverty and are sustainable. And that to me, that fires me up because that is the point and mission of our ministry. So anyway, we're just super pumped to kind of give a snapshot today. So I'll segue into today. I want to share some truths from the Gospel of Mark. And also, what can we learn? How do we have unordinary sight? and how each of us can make a difference in lives of children and families here in West Michigan, but also around the world. So, but let me start with a question. Has there ever been a time when you've ever been asked to let go of something that you didn't want to let go of? Anyone ever happened to you? Let me share a story, so maybe you can relate. So when my son, who's now grown 25 years old, but when he's a little kid, he was adorable, by the way, and he's like the happiest kid ever. So we kind of named him Sunshine. It's because he woke up ridiculously happy. However, there was one thing that made this boy named Sunshine turn a bit cloudy, okay? And it was French fries. Yep, French fries. Let me explain a little bit. So let's just say we have his burger, hot dog, sandwich, whatever. He'd have his fries, and like he would just hunker down around those fries like this impenetrable shield, right? Like, don't touch these fries. And so it was just, it's happened every time we would have French fries. And this curly-haired little kid was just like, you just didn't want to mess with him, right? So fast forward, I don't remember if he was just engaged with his bride, Brittany, or if they were actually married at that time, I don't recall. But anyway, so our family was at this restaurant having a burger, sandwich, whatever, and fries. And so my default posture, right, is just I'm zoning in on him going, okay, how's this going to work? Is he going to just hunker down on these fries, right? And so then it happened. Like, I witnessed an absolute miracle. So Brittany's hand reached over it slowly. And maybe it wasn't in slow motion, but in that moment it felt like slow motion. Like, she's reaching over and she's going to grab a fry. I'm like, here we go. This is going to be great. And all of a sudden, my son, to my astonishment, warmly and enthusiastically lets her have a fry. And I'm like, whoa. I didn't say anything in that moment because as a good dad, I didn't want to, poke at my son and make him feel embarrassed. But what I didn't realize is that I think if I think back, what was the main focus when he was a kid of why he would hold on tight those French fries, right? I think it's because if you let go of these French fries, it was like, I'll never have something this good ever again, right? And so I think in that moment he's like, okay, this beautiful girl is offering, wanting to take this French fries. I'm going to give up these fries because I'm going to receive something way, way better than French fries. So anyway, today we're going to read about two people in the book of Mark, chapter 10, who encounter Jesus, a rich young ruler and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. So a little context about the book of Mark. So the book of Mark was actually written by, scholars agree that it was by John Mark, who was discipled by Peter. And he also ministered with Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. And we've been studying Acts, and Ron has mentioned Mark in one of our series. And so the book of Mark is the oldest gospel. It was written around 64 AD to an audience of early Christians in Rome who were being persecuted because of their devotion to Jesus. And so this book is filled with stories upon stories and accounts of this new kingdom that Jesus was inaugurating. And it was this new kingdom where, in opposition to power and to position, where Jesus demonstrates this restorative, vulnerable solidarity with the weak. So some scholars say it was also written to display the mistakes of the disciples, to encourage the audience that, Jesus is patient with us, okay? And he will help us in our weakness as we try to live lives that look different from the world around us. And so I give a little bit of credit, right, to the disciples, because sometimes we say, well, how'd they miss that in some of the stories, right? But I think someone said recently, we can see God in everything if we're open to it, but we can also miss God in anything. And so I can relate. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 17. So as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father. Teacher declared, I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. So at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? And so we'll jump down to verse 27. Jesus looks at them. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So then Peter spoke up. We've left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last be first. So that's the story of the rich young ruler, okay? Now we're going to jump in the same chapter to verse 46. Now we're going to talk, we'll see this encounter of blind Bartimaeus. And so we'll start in verse 46. Then he came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And so they called to the blind man, cheer up, get on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received sight and followed Jesus along the road. So two men come to Jesus, right? There's two stories, very different endings. And we're going to walk through a little bit of this and compare and contrast. So one walks away sad, and one walked away with sight. So guys, here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to give you 100% more, 100 times more than what you let go of. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like blind Bartimaeus. I want to be the one that comes to Jesus, cries out, says, Jesus, have mercy on me, I want to see. I don't want to be like the rich young ruler who comes to Christ and then walks away sad. And so what are we going to learn today? I want to share three powerful truths as we contrast the stories between the rich young ruler and blind Bartimaeus. Three powerful truths that can help us receive 100 times more in our lives, in our families, in our relationship with God, relationships with one another. So this is not like a prosperity gospel, just to be clear. It's a gospel of Jesus one that says, in Jesus' own words, as you follow me, yes, you will suffer because life is hard. And there's a cross. But I will be with you, and you will receive 100 times more than what you give up for me and the gospel. So our first truth, mercy over due. So the kingdom of Jesus is about mercy, not what we can do to earn it. So the rich young ruler ran to Jesus and even fell on his knees before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So let's compare the story with blind Bartimaeus. In verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So both come with a similar physical posture. One ran and fell on his knees, one jumped to his feet, threw his cloak off, and came to Jesus. However, both came, I believe, with a different posture of the heart. And so Jesus answers both very differently. He answers the rich young ruler with the commandments in verse 19, and then the rich young ruler declares, I've done all these since I was a boy. And so then Mark writes this beautiful sentence in verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. So I just want to pause there for a minute. What a moment, right? So if you can just imagine yourself, and you're in the presence of Jesus, King of the universe, God incarnate, and he looks at you not in judgment, but in love. Imagine that feeling as if you're looking directly into the eyes of the one who created you, full of warmth, compassion, love, mercy. And he looks at you as God always looks at us, in this kind, unconditional, limitless love that Jesus is now looking at us saying, I love you. You are loved, chosen, forgiven, approved. So back to the story. So Jesus says, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So let's look at how he answers Bartimaeus. who was on the side of the road begging. So first, it's interesting, disciples see Bartimaeus crying out, and interestingly enough, they rebuke him, tell him to be quiet. So, yet Jesus does something very, very different when he encounters a blind man. He says, call him, to his disciples, call him. And by this, it's this compassionate moment where Jesus actually is saying, I want to be near him. I want him to be close to me. I want to talk to him. I want to be one-on-one with this man. And I love this because it's this picture that he's wanting to bring him away from the crowds. And he wants to just have this moment of conversation where he whispers, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus responds emphatically, Rabbi, I want to see. So one receives sight and one walks away sad. Why? So as we look at this text, I think the rich young ruler, he asked Jesus, what must I do? And the blind man cried out, have mercy on me, I want to see. So the beauty of this is when it comes to eternal life in the kingdom of God, it's receiving what Jesus has already done through his life, death, resurrection, not what we need to do. That's good news, amen? That's good news. It's mercy, not what we can do to get right or better. The way of Jesus is surrender. It's loosening our grip, letting go, and receiving 100 times more. Remember the audience Mark is writing to, those Christians facing persecution from the Roman Empire for following Jesus and leaving this religious system of performance behind? And maybe Mark is using the story of blind Bartimaeus then in that moment to encourage them to stay the course. What you give up for the kingdom, you'll receive 100 times more. All right, so I wonder if you've seen this in your life, because I certainly have seen it in mine. Do you come to Jesus saying, Lord, what must I do? And there's times that is so needed, right? But there's also, I think, many more times where we need to come to Jesus in the posture and heart of blind Bartimaeus and say, Lord, I'm blind in so many ways. Have mercy on me. I want to see. Amen? So in Psalm 30, verse 8 through 12, I think we get a picture of this. It's written in Psalm 30. I think it's this picture of blind Bartimaeus. To you, O Lord, I cry. And to the Lord, I plead for mercy. What profit is it in my death? Imagine you're this blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my helper. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me in your gladness, that I might glory and I may sing your praise and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I think it's this beautiful transition. So we've talked, the first truth is mercy overdue, but we also see a second truth as we compare these two stories. The second truth is faith over control. So Jesus is asking this rich young ruler, what is Jesus asking this rich young ruler to do? He says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He was asking him to let go and to follow. So what do you think he needed to let go of? What was he holding on to? Maybe it was control. In verse 22, it says he had great wealth. And maybe he was thinking, I've worked so hard to get where I'm at. I've got investments and savings, a beautiful home, a business that's thriving. I got great reputation. What you're asking, Jesus, is impossible. If I give it all away, I have no control over what happens to me, and suddenly I'm vulnerable. And he walks away sad. I wonder, question, if any of us have sensed this fear of losing control in your life, maybe being vulnerable in a sense of continual uncertainty and instability. How about a global pandemic? Any of that ring a bell? I think what I've learned is I'm sure we can all relate in some way of what we've had to give up in this past year, right? But I think we can also, if we truly look at maybe I'll just share this. What I've learned in my role with World Orphans is I talk to folks around the world, is that one thing is the majority of the global poor, those around the world live on less than $5 a day, they face daily loss of control and uncertainty due to poverty and injustice, things that are outside of their control, mainly because of the zip code they're born in, okay? So this pandemic has leveled the playing field. And I think now it's leveled this field with the material poor and those with much, including myself. So when things are good, we can easily lean into our own ability to provide. But when those same things that give us security are taken away, we find ourselves with this greater need for dependence on God, which is truly the place we all need to be. This is the place where Jesus is asking this rich young ruler to step into by letting go. God's ways are far above our ways. His ways are always good. And his solutions to our problems are never limited. So maybe we need to pause for a moment and just get quiet and say, and ask ourselves, am I holding on to something that the Lord is asking me to let go of? And I think maybe I'd encourage us to have that posture. I was on a call a few months ago with a friend in Ethiopia, a pastor, and in light of in Ethiopia, there's school shut down, restrictions, but business and markets were closed, not being able to gather, COVID was on the rise. And so he says, Randy, we're gonna be okay, but we're praying for you. You folks in the U.S., I don't think you've ever faced what we face on our daily lives. And so we want to pray for you. And I thought that was brilliant. Here's someone with a posture of heart that says, we're going to be okay, we trust the Lord. But you guys might be facing something that's new. And so I just love that posture. Back to the story. So what was this rich young ruler lacking? I believe it was faith. Faith in Jesus that he, if he let go of control, he was going to receive something far greater, 100 times more. So what's impossible in our eyes is always possible with God. Jesus says in verse 29, whatever you give up for me in the gospel, you will receive 100 times more in this life, along with persecution, and age to come, everlasting life. But those who are first will be last, and last will be first. So let's look at blind Bartimaeus again. In verse 30s, he says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. I think this is significant because the cloak was his outer garment that he used to keep warm during the day when it was cold, or at night when it's cold. It was a bed he would actually sleep on. He spread it out before him as he begged for, he was totally dependent on others. He didn't have a bag or a satchel or something, so that was actually something he would carry his belongings around with. And so I think it's really significant that he was completely dependent, but yet he was willing to do what the rich young ruler wasn't. He cast his cloak aside, letting go as if to say, my faith and trust is in Jesus. I have no plan B. Nothing else matters. All right, so faith over control. The third truth is Lord over teacher. The rich young ruler calls Jesus good teacher, and Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, son of David. So the name teacher in first century Jewish context meant the one who teaches things of God. It meant in the duties of man. So son of David, though, in this context, meant the Messiah, the coming king, spoken through prophets for hundreds of years, that the Messiah would come, and he would make all things new. He would heal every disease. He would give sight to the blind. He would restore all that has been broken and bring freedom for those who are captive. So one saw Jesus as a good teacher, and the other saw Jesus as Lord. One received sight, and one walked away blind. So if Jesus is a good teacher, listen to this, then you are still Lord. But if he is Lord, then you will see. So as we discussed, we kind of talked through these three truths from a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. When we seek mercy over performance, faith over control, Lord over teacher, that's when we can receive 100 times more than what we let go of. So I kind of want to close with this Bartimaeus response to this new sight. So Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he receives sight and followed Jesus along the road. So Bartimaeus receives 100 times more than the cloak he let go of. And think about this. He saw life for the first time. Imagine he sees something. He sees color, blue sky. He sees trees. He sees the sun. He sees faces. He sees people. He sees all this for the first time, right? Imagine that moment. But yet he chooses to let that go and follow Jesus. So I think as we think about Orphan Sunday, where it's just one day where the global church says with one voice, we stand for the vulnerable children and families around the world. So what does this 100 times more kind of faith look like? I want to leave us with two thoughts. Be interrupted and be someone else's restoration. Be interrupted and be someone else's restoration. So some scholars agree that Mark writes in such a way that he's telling a story within the story. And so the story within the story of blind Bartimaeus is one that highlights the way of Jesus living with unordinary sight. This means to see the world the way Jesus sees it. So the story within the story is one of love where Jesus identifies himself in a restorative, vulnerable solidarity with the weak, those who are pushed aside. The first becomes last, the last becomes first. Let's take a closer look at this. So notice Jesus follows, allows himself to be interrupted by a blind beggar who had no social power or position in society, no one to help him, no one to be his advocate. Interrupted by the same one that those closest to him told to be quiet. To make a difference in someone's life, hear this, you don't have to be rich, brilliant, or perfect. You just need to care enough to be there and be interrupted. And your interruption is actually the means in which Jesus uses to bring someone else's restoration. Let me show you this in my own life. So I was interrupted in 2005 by a beautiful little girl named Teresa. She was 7 years old at the time, from Guatemala. And so we let go of a little bit of our time, a little bit of our resources, a little bit of our space in our family, maybe a little more space in our home that we didn't have. But we received 100 times more than what we could ever imagine. We were loved and rescued by this Jesus. We decided to give that same love and rescue away. But the beauty is that, you know, adoption is a beautiful gift, yet we receive far more than we had ever given away. So fast forward, I was interrupted in 2018 by a vision to prevent a child from becoming an orphan. I let go of security of an income and a certainty of a job, and I stepped out in faith of World Orphans, and I needed to raise support to cover my salary so I could be a voice for orphans and families around the world full time. And so once I set a date, this is crazy, to leave the business world, God provided 100% of the support needed to leave my job and enter into this role with World Orphans in 24 Fridays. I only had one day a week to share the vision, and God provided this in 24 Fridays. So I was also interrupted in just after Teresa came home, this is around 2008, but where interruption of one became actually the restoration for over 1,000. So let me tell you what that means. So our adoption was final after we had 3 years of our journey with Teresa. She was in her family. I remember sitting down with a friend. I remember saying, man, if we could make a difference for one, what if we could make a difference for 1,000? And it was almost like this, kind of like, what if, you know, just kind of dreaming for a moment. So we fast forward. As part of my role with World Orphans in 2019, we were able to care for 625 families. And we have a home-based care program, which allows 1,525 children and their parents to receive food, shelter, medical care, education, and the hope of the gospel, eliminating the need for 50 orphanages. One interruption became the restoration for 1,000. Praise the Lord. We all can make a difference in the lives of children and families. The call to the church, which is you and I, okay, all through Scripture is one to defend the orphan and the vulnerable. Psalm 10:14, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. You set the lonely in families and you lead the prisoners out with singing. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. And James 1:27, pure and faultless religion looks like this, to enter into the lives of orphans and widows, helping them in their time of distress and staying unpolluted from the world. So I'm going to share a few stats with you. Globally, there are over 140 million orphans in the world. And this is astounding. 80% of those children living in an orphanage have a living parent who desperately longs to care for the child, but typically because of poverty cannot. In the U.S., there are over 400,000 children in the foster care system. 122,000 present day are waiting to be adopted by a forever family. This seems overwhelming, and it seems like, what can we possibly do? But let me ask you a question. How many adults does it take to make a difference in one child? One. What about here in Michigan? There's 3,500 kids are waiting to be adopted, and there's actually 7,847 churches in Michigan. Okay, it's perspective. If one family from every second church decided to step into a child's life, it'd be zero kids in the foster program. We all can make a difference. We can't do everything. So I want to be very clear. We can't do everything, and God doesn't call us to fix everything. But there's sometimes God calls us to do something, okay? I ran into a couple recently that blew me away. Young couple, okay, 23 years old. They said, "Hey, Randy, we're gonna foster." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. That's so cool. Like, can you just, what sparked that?" "Wow, you know, we decided we've got an extra bedroom. So we decided we got space. Why not?" So a 23-year-old young married couple made the decision to foster a child because they had an extra bedroom. Not all of us are called to adopt, foster, be a voice for orphans, leave your job, you know, all that stuff. Not all of us are called to do that. But you know what? Some are. And sometimes God is poking you and just whispering something to you that you can make a difference. And maybe God's calling you to be interrupted and to be someone else's restoration. So we all can do something. I'm going to leave you with something super tangible. I don't want to talk about these big ideas and like say, "Yeah, that's great," and we walk out. No, I really want to give us a tangible thing. I believe we all can do something. And I think one of those things is we can learn. We can learn about mentoring, fostering, adopting, family preservation. You know, visit Bethania.org. It's a great organization. There's other organizations as well locally that can help understand and educate and learn about those kids in our community, those kids around the world. World Orphans, that's our organization. Our ministry focus is walking upstream to those families in crisis and empowering those families to prevent a child from growing up in an orphanage. I'd be happy to have coffee with anybody or a sandwich. I love both. And so if you want to, I'd love to share kind of what our ministry does a little deeper. Christian Alliance for Orphans, it's called CAFO. This and Faith Action, these are two great organizations that help educate the church how to engage and learn about different models of orphan care. And so I think the second thing we can do is listen. And we all can listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. And so I'm using a lot of words today, but normally I like to listen. But if we can listen, we've begun to find amazing stories. And there's families in this community right now at Bridgeway that have walked this path of adoption and foster care. And they've journeyed, and some are in the journey. And so what if we just asked, "Hey, tell me your story. I want to learn, how did that work? What are the challenges? What are some of the highlights? How did God do that?" We can ask those families. And I'm sure most of those, matter of fact, I think I know, those in our community would be happy to share their story. And if you have interest, actually, Pastor Mike is going to, we're going to have a website, a page on the Bridgeway's website. But if you're interested, just reach out to Pastor Mike. He'll connect you. We've got great families with amazing stories, legends and heroes that I think would be happy to share the story. So pray. We are also on the same page on Bridgeway's website. We're going to have some resources that you can specifically pray for. And there's an intentionality behind this. There's 24 groups of people that we can pray for in our community that we don't sometimes realize. So there's 24 groups. Adoptive families, obviously biological families, those are common. But counselors and therapists and teachers and law enforcement and those who have to make those really difficult decisions. Like, we can pray. There's 24 groups that we can pray for. And there'll be a PDF that you can look at. And as a small groups, whatever, you can say, "You know what? We're going to pray for these 24 groups of people." Pray for Team Randy and Jen. That's my wife and I. Man, we would be delighted if you would pray with us as we empower families. We would absolutely love it. There's a prayer card. Actually, it's out in the front lobby. Just grab it if you want. There's three simple ways to pray for us, for our church we work with, the children we work with, and also the communities we serve in. Please, I'd be delighted to have you guys pray for us. Please take one. And I think the last is to get involved. So we're not called to do the same thing, but we are capable to do something. Each of us is capable to do something. And so there's some simple, like again, very simple ways. There's a photo on the screen here. And if you look at this, these are very simple ways that there's families in our community, locally at Bridgeway, that are either in that process of adoption, foster care, or in the journey at some point. But if you look at these things, these are some very tangible ways house cleaning, groceries, donate supplies, lawn care, bring in a meal, attend a court appointment, help fix the car, babysit the kids. These are super tangible ways that we can enter into the vulnerable and empower a sense of community around each of us. So God wants to give you 100 times more than what you let go of. He wants to give you an unordinary sight. Be interrupted. Be someone else's restoration. So I want to leave you with a picture. All right, so this is my daughter, Teresa. Love her. A few weeks ago, we had a birthday dinner with my mother-in-law and my mom and wife, Jen, and Teresa. And so it is a beautiful day. It was one of those picturesque days in the fall, right? And so we decided after dinner to go for a walk. And so we went for a walk down around the lake we live on. And so Teresa, she grabs her longboard out of her car and just scoots past me on a skateboard, right? And I'm thinking, that's crazy, man. But it looks fun. I should probably look at trying to do that. So she flies down me, right? But then she spins around and she starts coming back. And so I snap this picture on my phone. And if you can see that smile, that picture says more than what I could ever say today about the vulnerable kids in the world, in our community, locally and globally. And I think sometimes this smile that I see on her face is, this captures my best interruption ever. And I received 100 times more of what I could ever have let go of. And I think God so wants to interrupt us, okay? And sometimes we need to be interrupted so that we can be someone else's restoration, amen? Why? Because Jesus was interrupted for us. He became sin and death and rose again to give us restoration. And we can walk with him. So he's asking, let's do the same thing for those around us, right? All right, so I'm gonna ask those watching at home and those here, I want us to do something as a church family. And I know this may be uncomfortable, but is there anyone who will stand with me today, right now, that will just stand up, that will take a stand today for orphans, for vulnerable families, and vulnerable children? Anyone that will just stand up and say, you know what, Randy, I will learn. Heck yeah, I'll click a website and learn. I will listen to someone who's gone down that path. I will pray. And maybe, you know what, if God leads, I'll get involved. Would there anyone right now stand up and say yes? Thank you. I want to close in prayer, and I would encourage all of us in this room and those at home, just pray with us. Let's stand with each other as one beautiful image of the church, saying, you know what? We're different in a lot of ways, but we're alike in many. And we serve this Jesus who is, he was interrupted and he brought me a restoration and wants us to do the same for others. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, Jesus. I just pray over each one standing today that your blessing would be over them. We thank you, God, as you were interrupted for us. Yes, we thank you that you were interrupted. You were uncomfortable. God, you made a way to restore us back to good. We thank you for the love. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Today, we stand and we pray for families in our community, and we stand and pray for kids. Because kids without families isn't right. And we stand as a church and we pray, God, that you are the Father to the fatherless. We are your sons and daughters adopted into your family by the work of the cross. And so we want to see you as Lord. God, we just want to see you as Lord, not as a good teacher. We want to see you as Lord. We're so blind in many, many ways. By your grace, give us eyes to see, to truly see and be someone else's restoration. Just like Barnabas, who we want to see the way you see the world. And God, we want to let go of what we're holding on to. And we ask you to receive 100 times more, as your word says. And we are so blessed. And we give you all the glory. We promise, God, it's all about you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.